Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Father, this morning we ask that you would bless your word. We ask that the Holy Spirit will unveil the truths that are needed for this body today. And Lord, as the truths are unveiled, may it be like bread and meat for those who need to partake today. May it be strength for them. May it be help for them. May it be wisdom for them. May it be all that is needed so that this day there is a fulfillment of what you have spoken as well as what the body is needed. And those two hand in hand will be able to allow us to walk freely in this life, doing the purpose of the kingdom. We love you and thank you, Lord God, and I pray that you would help me to speak what needs to be said. That you would speak through me today. For Lord, you know how incapable I am of doing this on my own. But I need you today. And I want you. I long for you. That you would do in this group, in this body, in this church, in this community, what needs to be done. And we're ready to do what you ask in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Paul was writing to Timothy. And as he was writing to Timothy, there was some persecution things going on. He obviously says, I've been chained. I know what it's like to be chained for the gospel. You know what? I have never in my life ever been chained for the gospel. I have no idea what he's talking about. I have had nothing but freedom to be able to speak freely about what I believe in my heart. I haven't had to worry about authorities. I've never had to worry about other denominations or other people trying to come in and say, you can't do this. I've had total freedom. How about you? You know, with total freedom, there's really not much of an excuse of why we aren't doing what God asks. I mean, I can get in a routine of doing my own thing just like anybody else. But you know what? When God moves, when God desires to do things, He begins to work inside of you and He begins to transform things inside of you so that what needs to be done can be done because of His grace. Because of His grace. Which Titus tells us is a work of empowerment to do what you and I can't do on our own. And if we could do it on our own, we wouldn't have to come here. We wouldn't have to spend time worshiping. We wouldn't have to spend time reading. We wouldn't have to worry about anything that God said because we had the power and the ability to do it on our own. But I don't know about you, but for me, I don't have that ability. I don't have the capability of doing this on my own. I know I have to rely upon what God says and what God wants done because only then can I do what I was created to do. And the same for you. And I believe that's one of the reasons why you and I are here today is because the Lord wants to remind us of some things and He wants to know that you have all the grace you need to do what He's asked you to do. He's not short. He's not weak. He's not even bent. The pressure that's against Him, He's not even bent. He stands strong and true. He stands able to do far above all we could ever ask, imagine, or think. And when He wants something done, He can move forward freely with His body, doing what God asks. Why? Because He has all the power able to do exactly what needs to be done. And I don't know about you, but that should be a great comfort and a great joy. Therefore, God does not want you to always look through your natural eye. You have to learn to look through what God says and what God has given you. And you have to know that this God you serve is greater in ability than anything else in this world. And when He asks you to do something, He never asks you to do something you couldn't do. And so as God begins to move and God begins to do things, we need to realize that God will help us through, even though things might be difficult. I've never written a letter from prison. I don't know what that's like to hear God when you're in your worst hour or when you're in a difficult hour. But Paul seemed to be able to go beyond all the surroundings of what was taking place, of where he was as a person, and he was able to write specifically what the hand of God needed for the church and for the body of Christ from that moment on. Can you imagine that? Getting yourself out of your circumstance so much that what God says is not hindered or even hampered by the desire that's inside of you that you wish you could be somewhere else eating mama's cooking. Because the stuff they're giving you in jail probably ain't that good. Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe we should try it sometime. No, not really. I like my mama's cooking. Both mamas. But Paul, funny thing about Paul is he always writes encouraging things. He always writes strong things. You ever notice that about him? Doesn't seem like he's ever weak. He never seems to be under his circumstances. He always seems to be able to walk above and beyond them, even though they're difficult, no matter what he's facing. And I don't know about you, but when Paul writes to Timothy, many times, once again, he's writing from prison because of the gospel, not because he did something wrong. But he writes to Timothy in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Did you notice that it's the grace in Christ? It's not the grace of life. It's not the grace of someone else. It's the grace of Christ Jesus. And if His grace is sufficient for me, for in my weakness, His power is made perfect, as Paul said. His power is made perfect. Then guess what? I can walk out in this life no matter what I face. I can face the things that come against me, and I will have the grace. I will have the abundance. I will have the more than enough to be able to help me to walk through. God is not weak. He's not short. He's not even bent. He doesn't bend under the pressure of what's going on because He's so strong and He's so massive, and His grace has the ability to help me to be strong in the race that God has asked me to live, and as well for you. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. How do you become strong in the grace? You have to get yourself out of the way. You have to get your mindset out of the way. You have to begin to think like God. You have to begin to see what God sees. Therefore, what you see in the natural should only be just a temporary sight. Because when I look at something in the natural, let's say we got visitors here today. Some people I haven't seen forever, or maybe I haven't seen you for a while. When I look at you, I'll pick on Jordan. Not my son. That's my son, by the way. I told you about him earlier. I've never seen Jordan before. I can formulate an opinion of him because of what I see. But if I go by that, I might shortchange God of doing something in him today because of what I saw naturally. So when God comes with His grace, I can go to Jordan and I can begin to receive immediately from God His grace to be able to do in Jordan, or say to Jordan, or just do, be around him by the grace that God has given me. It goes far above all that I know and all that I understand, and He has the ability to help me to see what God sees when I look at someone. And boy, I tell you, if you and I can learn that kind of grace when you walk through everyday life, there's going to be people that you're going to look at and say, boy, I got an opinion right away. But that should just be a fleeting moment, because immediately God's grace should come and begin to give you a different perspective. You might say, well, gee, isn't that kind of stretching it? You know, I don't know. How else are you going to reach the world? How else are you going to touch the people that are around you that day? You're walking through Walmart, Leavers. You can walk through Kmart. You can go to attorney's office. You can go to the water district. You can go to all of that. And you're going to come across people that for some reason God has them working that day that you are there. And you might need to minister to them, but if you go by what you see, you can completely stop what God wants done that day because of your opinion. Completely handicap God. Do you ever notice that when Jesus went to a certain city, he could only do a few miracles? Because there was no faith. There was no one that believed in him. Well, guess what? Just think what would happen if the body of Christ would wake up every morning and say, Lord, what are we going to do today? And you just learn to empty your hands of what you need to do and just begin to do what God wants done. And in the process of doing that, all of a sudden people are lined up in your day, every day. And you know, some days you'll never say a word to somebody. Because it's be the one time that God wants you to intercede and pray. I need some help. Guys, quickly. 5, 6, 7 of you. Just line up. Come on. He said the tallest over here, so yeah. I'm gonna think of Art today. I got a chance to visit with Art yesterday. And you know, it just seems like there's one thing after another for him. And I don't understand that. My faith is up here. I just agree that he can. I told him, I said, don't be surprised if you walk into church tomorrow. And he goes, oh, they wouldn't let me out of here that soon. I said, if God's in it, you can't limit God when it's like that. So Art and Cheryl might feel like they're alone. And in the process of being alone, which maybe most of us have felt some form or fashion, it'd be nice when we would call upon God that somebody would show up. You ever had that happen? So in the process, God has a body. They all do something different. Every single one of these guys do something different. They're going through their day doing what they are required to do. And all of a sudden, Art has a day where he needs something. And so Art says, Lord, I pray that you would cause someone to help come and stand with me or pray with me or to encourage me. Because we can do that. I'm having a tough day and I need some help, Lord. Boom. Up here. All of a sudden, I'm not standing alone. He might not only have caused him. Boom. I've got more. Why? Because I needed something and God graced me. God graced me with his body to come along, stand beside me so that what I'm going through all of a sudden isn't so heavy. And so when I begin to call upon God and it's like, oh Lord, I thank you for that, but man, it just feels like it's heavy. Boom. You see, at God's beck and call, he can't wait to help you. But if you're going to tell God how to do this thing, pretty good chance he'll wait until you give him liberty to do what he wants. And so I can look at these guys and say, you brought them? Of all the people, you brought them? And all of a sudden God goes, why are you looking at them? You can stand anywhere you want, wherever you feel God wants you to stand. There you go. Imagine that, the one that likes to talk. I can still be taller than you. So all of a sudden, God brings in more, not just to my side, but to my front. I think that was good. You're listening. And all of a sudden, I need more guys. I don't care where you stand, wherever you feel God wants you to stand. Yep. And all of a sudden, now look where I'm at. Why? Because God knows how to grace my life with things that I need. So now I could go from here and begin to walk out my day knowing that God spoke to him and him and him and him and him to grace me with support. God's grace empowers me to be able to do what needs to be done that day. Now, if I was Art, I'd be pleased with these guys around me. I'd be pleased. Now, obviously, this isn't all that God speaks to. When God speaks, He speaks to men, women, and sometimes even children. How they just begin to pray and begin to be graced by what God wants done that day. Now, that happens in Art's life. But what if, Brad, come here. Brad now says, Lord, and he says, I need help. Boom. 5, 6, yeah. All of a sudden, they're leaving their posts. And they're making room for God to do what needs to be done in them. Because Art received the grace. He's fine. His faith is built where it needs to be. Now all of a sudden, he's got somebody with him. Why? Because God knows how to rearrange the body to do what needs to be done. And you might, to be honest, Brad might not feel a thing. But remember, God isn't a feeling. God isn't a feeling where I always feel Him physically. God is a spirit where He knows how to deposit into me in my mind and my heart the very things that I need so that what needs to be done can be done according to what God wants. And so when God does that, He begins to rearrange the body. So don't be surprised if you're rearranged 2-3 times throughout your day. But sad to say, in God's body, there's a number of us that like to sit and not do anything. And I'm not saying you're all doing that. I'm just saying in general, I can get so busy with what I want and what I desire that when God speaks, I just go, yeah, I'll pray for Him later. And never say utter a word. And you know what? I believe we're in a new day and a new hour where this is going to happen more quickly than ever before. More quickly. Why? Because we're listening to His voice. I'm hearing what He's saying. And not only am I hearing what He's saying, I'm responding. I mean, if I was a 911 responder and I was out doing my thing and my beeper went off and I just said, shut that off. What good is that? I'm not responding to the call that came physically. Therefore, sometimes I don't respond to the call come spiritually either. Because I'm so consumed with what I'm doing that I fail to understand that what God sees and what God wants out of the body needs to be done soon and quickly and moving about doing whatever needs to be done, when it needs to be done, and how it needs to be done. And when we learn to hear God's voice in that way, I tell you what, boom, somebody else needs prayer. We move right along. We don't stay here because God says, okay, I'm done with you right here. Now I need you to move on. Thank you, Phyllis. But if you and I learn not to respond, which is easy to do, you and I can learn not to respond. You ever move into a community and all of a sudden you see smoke in the sky? Oh, I got to go see what's going on. And pretty soon, another day comes and you don't see smoke that often. Oh, that looks like it's over at Chris's place. Well, I better go over there and see if he's all right. You get over there and it's nothing. Pretty soon, you see smoke in the sky and it's like, yeah, whatever. All of a sudden, you become unaware of what's going on. And next thing you know, Nathan had a fire and nobody responded because, we've seen that in the sky before. It gets real easy to become lazy, if you want to call it, or not aware of what God's saying when God's moving. And I tell you what, it's really important that we learn that God's grace that is in Christ Jesus is something we need to be strong in. Verse 2, he says, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men. I find it interesting that Paul writes to Timothy to be careful who he gives what he gives to them. Sometimes in our world, We think anybody can fill any position at any time. I don't see that in God's Word. I see that there's times when God brings people for a specific reason to fill a specific position, and yet there's times when there's people that are multi-talented, can fit just about 3-4 different positions. But the reality is that Paul was telling Timothy, give this to reliable men. In other words, portion out what I've taught you and give it to men that will take responsibility of it and care for it like it's their own. If I were to ever leave New Life for a season and say, I'm going to give this to somebody and I want you to take care of it. Well, actually, let's just do this. Let's do a better one. The man in the Bible who had a vineyard that hired a bunch of guys to come and take care of it. And he went off for a long time, and because the man went off for a long time, the ones that were caretaking of the vineyard and everything began to do things the way they wanted it done, rather than the way that the owner wanted it done. Therefore, when the owner came back and asked for some of the things that he was looking for, they weren't able to provide. They didn't want to provide because they didn't think he deserved what was rightfully given, what they had worked for. So therefore, when you see the owner come back, he wasn't real pleased with his vineyard because of how it was cared for. You know what? God wants the things that he wants established, cared for in his way, not ours. And that sometimes is very difficult for us to comprehend, that especially for churches. Churches have been around for years upon years upon years. There's some churches in foreign countries where they've been there for hundreds of years. But just because they've existed doesn't mean that when Jesus comes back, he's going to go, boy, you took care of that building nice. Woo-wee! No. It's not so much about the building as it is what God is doing inside of those that are in the building. And we want to take good care of what's inside the building. And part of taking care of what's inside the building is learning to portion out what God has given us, so that those that receive it don't just throw it in a corner when they get home and don't do anything with it. It becomes something that we take with us when we walk out these doors, and it's like, I've got the words of life. I've got the words of life. And what am I going to do? Lord, what do you want me to do with the words of life? And he'll guide and direct your life. He'll move and he'll begin to stir inside of you things that needs to be done, so that when you go out in life, you can either see someone and say, well, I just know I'm supposed to pray for you. I don't know why, but I know I'm supposed to pray for you. And then there's others where you say, God gave me this scripture for you. Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. I don't know why that came. You know what I mean? And you'd agree with that, wouldn't you? Yeah. Not that you're married yet, but she's coming. Woo-hoo! But you know, the reality is that God teaches us how he wants to give things away. Now, I could have gave that to Glenn and said that scripture, but it wasn't for him. I was supposed to just pray for him. But learn to portion out what God wants when he wants it given. And just be aware of that. The scripture that comes to mind when I talk about that is, don't cast your pearls before the swine. Amen. Don't just throw seed out everywhere just because you can throw seed out hoping it'll do something. I don't know of a farmer that does that. A farmer goes into his field and he's got a certain area he likes to plant seed. He doesn't drive down the road and put the seed in the road. He's very specific about where he puts the seed. And if we can naturally be that way, why wouldn't God want to be that way? He wants a good return on his seed, so he's not going to ask me to throw seed out where it's not meant to be. And so I have to learn how to be a good steward of what God has given me. And he says, give these things to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others. In other words, be careful what you give to someone, because you want to make sure that they use it correctly. Now, you can't make people do that, but you pray that whatever you, give them is okay with God. Verse 3 is interesting to me. Endure hardship. Wait a minute. I thought ministry was supposed to be easy. Ken Cowan, who's talking to a bunch of people, he was a man we've had here from Bowling Green, Kentucky, and he was speaking at a pastor's conference one time. And he, as he was visiting with the pastor, he said, "So how's it going, Pastor?" He says, "Ministry's great, it's the people I can't stand." You know, the reality is that when you do things, you have to learn to endure some things. Now, when he says endure hardship like a good soldier of Christ Jesus, when I came into the relationship with Jesus Christ, I entered into an army. I entered into a place where God is going to ask me to be a soldier. Ray, if I were to ask him to come up here and share what he does, when he's in charge, he expects the men that are underneath him to listen to what he says and do what he says, right? In a very timely manner. Why? Because he's a man of authority. He has been given a position in the military to do what he has been given to do. And when he wants it done, he has men underneath him that he can instruct that will do exactly what needs to be done. When he wants it done. Well, when God tells us to endure hardship like a good soldier, as a soldier, no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs, but he wants to please his commanding officer. You know, I don't know about this, but I'm just going to take a venture, a little stretch here, Ray. You can correct me if it need be. You want to know why the military doesn't get involved in everyday activities in a community? Because they're not trained to do everyday activities. They're trained to be specialists. Called upon, ready to go when needed. That would be a waste of their time and energy to do something that everyday ordinary people could do. But there are things that they are specifically designed for to do that you and I can't do. When Iraq goes to war and we need to help, what are you going to do? Take your 12 gauge? No, they've got things. Well, you could. But they've got ways and tactics and training and all kinds of things that has taken place because they are specialists in that area. So when God says endure hardship like a soldier, you know that when you and I endure hardship, when we face things that come our way, we have the commanding officer, the most amazing commanding officer, ready to orchestrate his body to face the hardship. And you might face it alone some days because there's just some things that happen to you personally. But then there's things that happen in communities and there's things that happen, take place in countries and places where God wants to move a large mass of His body. And when He speaks, He wants His body to respond. He wants His body to hear what's being said. So He says, endure hardship, things that are difficult. Endure things that are difficult, just like being in prison, being chained, and still writing the pencil for God. I don't know about you, but that would be difficult. To get myself so much out of the way that I could write for God what God wants me to say. I don't know about you, but I think that would be challenging. But he says, endure hardship. So when you face trials, James says you're going to face trials of many kinds. But knowing that the testing of your faith will produce perseverance. A perseverance. What do you need perseverance for? Anybody can start something, but how do you finish it? Anybody can be a Christian for a day or two, but try living it out every day. Even when hardship comes, anybody can do those things. But the reality is, how do I endure those very things that God has given me to do? Endure hardship like a good soldier. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs, but he wants to please his commanding officer. I tell you what, my heart's desire for New Life Fellowship is that we learn to hear our commanding officer. And if it looks different, it's because he sent it. I'm not here to do whatever I want. I don't have an agenda. It is not my purpose to agenda New Life Fellowship, but it is my purpose to hear what he is saying and begin to flow and do what God is saying when he wants it said. And if I don't do that, I'll lead you astray. I'll lead us to a place where we will not be hearing God, we'll be just doing whatever because I don't want to be that church. I don't want to be that kind of a pastor. Because God didn't put this building here just so that you and I would be happy. Amen. Show me where He says He wants you to be happy. You want to see happy? Go look at a team that faced every opponent throughout the year and defeated them all and came out with a championship. You'll find happy. A lot of grit and a lot of practice and a lot of grime and getting up and doing things your body doesn't want to do every single day of the year for that one moment? Yeah. And guess what's going to happen in our world, in the Christian world? We're going to gather on Sundays. We're going to gather when God moves. We're going to gather and do what God says. And in the meantime, I'm going to get into the Word of God. I'm going to study. I'm going to get out of bed when God stirs me to get out of bed. And I'm going to read His Word. Why? Because I'm a good soldier doing what He training me to do so that when I am ready to be called upon, I can respond and say, yes, Lord, I'm ready to do whatever You ask. But if the reality is that if you and I are lazy and want to do something else and just kind of, oh, wow. You know, this is really tough, but guess what? God, I'm ready to go when You're ready to go, Lord, but you know, I just don't feel like reading today. I'm ready to hear Your voice, but you know, I don't really want to talk to my neighbor. I don't even like him myself. Can't imagine how you feel, but you know, the reality is that I've got all my own mindset doing my own thing. And God's saying, no, get my mindset, get my picture, so that when you look, you see what He sees. Endure like a good soldier, ready, trained, specifically able to do whatever God is asking me to do. And you know what? If you're clay in the hands of the potter, as the Israelites were, He says, can I not do with Israel like the potter does with the clay, that He can mold it and shape it and do whatever needs to be done? If God wants to do that with the nation of Israel, I can guarantee you He wants to do that with us. He wants to mold me and shape me so that I am relevant for the days that I'm living in, that I'm not trying to do something that I did 30 years ago and still trying to make that work out today. Why? Because God changes things. He moves and He's got reasons why He does things. Just look at farming, for example. From those of you that rode horses, farming, to what you're driving today is a major difference, but I don't see many of you with horses out there yet. You've adapted to the changes. God will bring changes that will absolutely bring about a work inside of us that can be met because of His grace. Verse 5, similar, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended of David, this is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. That tells you where he was at. And in the midst of what he was going through, he's saying, endure hardship. Get some endurance in you. Don't quit. Don't give up. Anybody can quit. Anybody can give up. That's easy. I've done it myself. I've quit things. I've started. And it's easier to quit than to keep going. There's some men in this congregation I have worked with over the years, and they have faced things doing carpentering and mechanicking and all the things that they do every day. And it's like, why do we keep on doing this? And they just keep going and keep going. And pretty soon at the end of the day, it's all fixed. It's all working. It's all great. It's like, man, if I was you, I'd have quit way back then and gone to town and bought something new. But no, there's an endurance in them that I didn't have. And that's what I see Paul writing to Timothy saying, you might not think that what you're doing today is really going to produce something, but don't quit, don't give up, endure it, go through it, keep moving, keep going. And when you see that, you'll be able to say, I didn't quit, I finished the race, I did what I was needed to be done. And Jesus Christ could have quit in the garden. He could have gave up. He could have said, Lord, I can't take it anymore. I don't want to go through this. I give up. But no, even though he was having a difficult day, he said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. What a powerful statement. And Paul being chained like a criminal, like he was, but he says, but God's word is not chained. Verse 9. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect. Here's an interesting scripture I don't know if I've ever read before or grasped it like I do today. That they too may obtain salvation. What? The elect? That they too may obtain salvation? Does that mean that you have to endure the hardship in order to stay a part of the elect? Yes. You have to keep walking. Anybody can quit. If you quit, you don't get the crown. You can quit, but I pray that you don't. But he was writing to them and he says, listen to what he says. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. In other words, I've been asked to run this race. Now I run and I run and I run no matter what I face, no matter what I endure. I keep running, I keep running, I keep running. I watched a track and field yesterday on TV. I like watching track and field for some odd reason. There was this race, it was like a 5,000 meter race. And everybody jockeys for position, of course, and there was this one Oriental gal that ended up getting tripped and she fell. And by the time she got up, she was 30 yards behind everybody else. She could have easily said, forget it, I ain't going to win. But no. She ran and she ran the whole race. Ended up beating some of the others. But you know, when you endure hardship, you can quit. She could have quit easily. But no, she kept on running. Why? Because that's what she was trained for. And she faced some hardship and difficulty. And guess what? You and I will face difficulty. We will face hardship. But God's grace is greater and it's stronger and it's able to help me to do whatever it is today. So if you feel like you're tripped up, you're too far behind, you ain't going to make it, I encourage you. You can do it with His grace. I can encourage you in your ear all day long and you might say, God, I wish you would just shut up. But when God's grace comes on the scene, the next thing you know, you've got something stirring inside of you that absolutely will cause you to be faithful to what you were called to do. And I pray that you and I learn to be faithful, even in the midst of what you're enduring. Now look at what he says in verse 11. Here is a trustworthy saying, if we died with him, we shall also live with him. Oh boy, do you ever think about that? Jesus born, raised, became a preacher at the age of 30. And in the process of preaching, ended up facing all kinds of persecution and all kinds of resistance and all kinds of trials. Only to know that you're going to go and die for people that really don't care. And you know what? That man endured. He continued to walk faithfully, not because of what he saw naturally, but because of what his Father asked him to do. He endured the cross, scorning the shame. He endured all that for us. And if he can do that for us, I need to learn how to walk through my difficult days and endure and to be trustworthy and to find myself faithful to do what God is asking. Because I need to fulfill what God has caused me to run. He's asking me to run my race. And I need to know how to continue to walk and run that race no matter what comes my way. Chris's niece, she's 9 years old, had a tumor wrapped around the main pituitary gland going through her brain. It also affected one of her optic nerves. Didn't have much of a chance. 9 years old. How old are you? 9. Come here. Stand up here. This is what 9 years old looks like. Stand up here. That a girl. 9 years old. She's never whined, never complained. God's graced her. in her walk. God's grace is enough to help a 9-year-old walk through something that you and I would be crying like a baby. When I was 9 years old, there's no way I was that tough. There was no way I could have done that. But as a 9-year-old girl, she had the surgery and she was at the wedding. And she's still back in the hospital. She's still back in the hospital today. I don't know what's going on, but it doesn't matter. God does. And God's able to fix it. And so, you know, if God can do that in a 9-year-old and grace them, what can God grace your life with? What can God grace your life? Thank you, sweets. God can grace your life and my life with the very same grace that empowers us and gives us the ability to walk through, even though we're enduring hardship and difficulty. If you're about ready to give up today, I just pray that you don't. I pray that you become so amazed at what God's grace can do. Because he says, if you died with him, you'll also live with him. And if I give my life over to him and I die to myself, that means I'm going to live with him. And if I'm going to live with him, that means I get to walk through this life and do what he wants me to do. And then when that day comes when my breath is taken away, I get to go spend eternity in heaven with him. Why? Because I ran my race. I was graced enough with the power that God gives me to do what needs to be done. He also says in verse 12, if we endure, we will also reign with him. Wow. Reign with him. We get to reign with him and rule with him. But look at what he also says. If, now remember who he's writing to. He's not writing to the world. He's writing to believers. If we disown him, he will disown you. That's why salvation for the elect was even a question earlier. Because the elect even has to walk faithfully. Then he says, if we are faithless, he will remain faithful. Aren't you thankful for that? I don't care where you've been. I don't care where you're at today. But all I know is I pray that you and I learn to take one more step today. Don't quit. Take another step in the direction God is asking you. Anybody can quit. I could quit being pastor today and not hear God and just do my own thing. I could quit if I wanted to. That's easy. But the reality is that if I'm going to learn to walk out my race that God has given me, I need to be like a good soldier, like a farmer, like an athlete that trains and trains and trains and works and works and works and does what needs to be done so that at the end of my race, I receive that crown. The process of running is what you and I are in. None of us have had our breath taken away, so now it's time to run. Keep going. Don't quit. And I pray that when you need prayer, there's a circle of guys around you. When you need prayer, there's a circle of ladies around you. When you need prayer, there's a circle of God's kingdom just coming. Why? Because he's bringing people to your mind, you to their mind to lift you up so that you don't fall under the pressure of your whatever you're facing. Let's all stand and pray. Father, today, it is truly a privilege and joy to be able to dig into your word. And I pray, Lord, today that the word is not chained today, but it is free and it is able to do what needs to be done. So do that work in me. Lord, I've already shared what I know, but that's not it for me. There's more for me to understand. There's more for me to gather. As well as for this body, there's more for them to gather if we just look at your word. Because your word will not return void, but will accomplish that which it was sent to do. And I pray, Lord, today that each and every one of us will learn to hear what it is you're saying so that we can continue to run our race and be graced with the power to do what needs to be done. Lord, if there's anybody that's ready to quit today, I pray that today they'll take another step. That the Lord, that you would activate more people around them and begin to pray for them. And that they would sense it, know it, and understand it. So Lord, we just bless you and thank you, Lord God, for what you're going to continue to do. Thank you that you're not raising up soldiers that are quitters. You're raising up soldiers that are faithful like you are. Lord, I want to be one of those soldiers that's faithful. I pray that you give God your heart's desire this morning. If you want to be a faithful soldier, tell him you want to be. And so, Lord, I pray that as we walk out these doors, we'll be faithful to you, whatever it is you're asking. And we ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Real quickly before you leave, and I don't do this for any other reason other than I want you to know that God cares about you. Are you ready to quit today? Just raise your hand. If you feel like you want to quit today, just raise your hand. Because as you raise your hand, there's going to be 10 people, I guarantee you, come around and begin to pray for you. I'm not saying, you're not saying, I'm weak, I just can't do it anymore. That might be where you're at, but guess what? You didn't come here to stand alone. You came here to stand with a group of people that should care about you. So if you're ready to quit today, just say, I need prayer. If you're ready to give in to temptation, to say, I need prayer. Why? Don't do it alone. You're no match for the enemy. You're not even any match for your flesh. If you could overcome your flesh, you wouldn't be here. But we need that help. So if you need prayer today, say, I need it. And then be aware of who's raising their hand. So as you go, be aware of who you're talking to. Ask God to help you encourage one another as you go. I know there's coffee and fellowship and whatnot, so stick around if you can. If you don't know somebody, just be a real blessing to them, encourage them. And we'll look forward to seeing you again next Sunday, okay? God's blessing to you. If you need prayer, come on up. We'll be glad to pray with you too.